I'm Aaron Barnard.
And I'm Matt Edwards.
What's happening in North Idaho?
All right, first, thank you to our sponsor, Life Coffee Roasters and Public House, open daily on Lakeside Avenue in downtown Coeur d'Alene, where they serve coffee, adult beverages, and great food. And you can become a Life member. Did you know that, Erin?
I just found out about that. I am so excited to be a Life member.
You can go be a Life member. You get a bag of coffee a month. You get a bag of tea a month. You get some other cool, like, tchotchkes. You get use of their conference room and other cool perks. So head on down to Life Coffee Roasters and Public House. Sound good?
Can't wait.
Okay, give us the rundown for today's podcast.
Oh man, we are talking about so many good things. We're talking about the lovely Pride in the Park event and the implications for that. We also talk about the Coeur d'Alene School Board and their new levy that they'll be asking the voters for coming up shortly. The state capitol down in Boise has some very interesting job openings that are available for everyone, and how you, a citizen of North Idaho and all over the state, can get involved. So stick around.
Aaron, it's good to see you again.
Thank you. It's good to see you, too. Welcome back.
Thank you. Yes, I was out of town for a week. In fact, I left the morning of June 10th.
So long ago.
It was so long ago, right? I left that morning, left the beautiful CDA area, and then all hell breaks loose up here while I'm gone. Like,
you're never allowed to leave again.
I know. What was that about? I want to say I had a little bit of FOMO. But honestly, I didn't, you know, but I was keeping tabs and everything. I had things that I needed to do, but
there were some big things that happened while you were gone.
Yeah, let's get into it. Go ahead. What happened that day?
Oh, man. So it's been a big week since you left. Thanks for leaving, because you left the rest of us to have to deal with this stuff. So the day you left was supposed to be this fantastic day. I can't even say that with a straight face. Supposed to be a day of Pride in the Park, a celebration for Pride. But it ended up being drag queens exposing themselves to children on stage.
Which is what people... Now, obviously, I was here in the lead up to this day.
Yes.
And this was a big concern in our community.
Yeah, there were a lot of people who were going in front of city council. They were writing emails. They were shouting in social media and praying a lot about what was to happen during this, because the Pride in the Park was supposed to have a family-friendly, quote-unquote, family-friendly drag show, which... I lived in Seattle for a while, for about 10 years, and we grew up on Capitol Hill over there. And if you've ever seen a drag show, you know that...
Not generally family friendly.
Not generally family friendly.
Yeah.
So...
And let me interject here real quick, because drag shows today are not like the drag shows of like... the 60s and 70s. I mean, to my knowledge, you know, like I feel like there was a performance art to drag queen. Like, we've all seen The Birdcage, right?
Yes.
There's like these like men that, and you didn't even have to be gay. It was just men that dressed as women to put on a performance.
Yeah.
It was like, it was almost like it was just a big performance, you know, and it was full of jokes and adult humor, and it was really fun, and they were very talented. And mm-hmm. if they did dance, they were really good dancers. And if they were witty, they had told good jokes. Like, it was a really well-crafted show. These drag queens today feels like cheap strippers.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So, and family friendly, of course, right?
For some reason, yeah. Family friendly.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, so that was the big to-do. One drag queen, who was a male dressed as a female, dancing around on stage out at the city park here in Coeur d'Alene, he squat down and exposed himself to everyone that was standing in front of the stage, which included a slew of underage minors.
Yeah.
A slew of them.
And this is the video, and what you're referencing is the video that kind of went viral. Like,
yes.
I mean, I just saw it today posted on Diamond and Silk. and posted it, I think.
It has gone everywhere.
It's gone everywhere over the past week. Yeah.
So this video.
A censored version of the
video.
It
is censored. Yeah. It is blurred. Well, you can't share that uncensored stuff. The guy is literally exposing himself to children. He is wearing black Spanx, like black shorts underneath his skirt.
Okay.
But I've seen the video. You know, it's in the hands of the police, so I can't say too much. I have seen the uncensored video of that. There is some junk in the trunk that is not in the trunk any longer.
Really?
And he did have to adjust himself. And in the middle of that was grabbing himself and, you know, emulating sexual...
Unbelievable.
...stuff. So...
So are you telling me that, like, genitalia was actually exposed?
Well, that was not a butt cheek. From the front. That was not a butt cheek.
Not that that would have been any better, I think. But if we're really talking about what we're talking about... And this was a male up there doing this. Then yeah, this is a big problem. And for context, this is a the stage that was being performed at is a permanent stage that's in the park.
It's a band shell. It's so a band shell stage outside in our city park.
Yeah,
you know, and taxpayer funded.
And it's about 50 yards or so from the big play structure.
Yes,
in the park because there's a big wooden, cool wooden play structure.
Yep,
that is for kids. So this definitely was positioned in a place where kids attend regularly. And this was a family-friendly event, like you
said. And it was advertised as a family-friendly event, yes. And
do we know anything about this particular individual? His history, like his performance history, his...
No, like that? I don't.
We don't know.
Okay. I don't know anything about it. There are other people that probably do. There's just been so much going on.
Yeah. I mean, this story's been like, I feel like it's a good thing that we've had at least a week to sit on it and kind of get all the details out because this is look, people have been protesting and people have been trying to stop these drag queen story hours in libraries, drag queens showing up to schools.
Well, it's the children. There's children involved. What you do with other adults, that's fine. That's different. You do you. I'm not going to talk about that. I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about the children who are seeing this stuff at such a young age before their minds are completely developed. I know that type of stuff messed me up. It messed other people up, you know, growing up with around... You know, any type of sexuality before their brains were developed.
Yeah.
And
it leaves a lasting imprint that can affect your ability to be, I don't know, to live a normal life.
Yeah.
You know, with whatever you choose to do later on in life. I mean, this is, you know, these are children and children should not be exposed to this. And shame on these parents. You know, I like,
man,
there's so much to say. I can't even get into it. Yeah, I know. It's we can go down this road, but the truth of the matter is you can confirm that there was that this guy basically flashed his genitalia on stage, gyrating, doing sexual moves in front of children.
Yep.
And it's documented. And it's documented and the police are investigating it.
Yeah.
Whether or not anything comes of this, we'll see, right? Because nobody's been arrested yet.
Nobody has been arrested yet. I know that the city attorney is looking into it. The county prosecutor is looking into it. The county sheriff is looking into it. The city police department is looking into it.
Yeah.
Who knows what the quarterly city council is doing because I just kind of write them off. But the right people are looking into it. And we have the pressure of the public and the national attention being put onto this topic. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we got to keep this up. We don't let people distract you from what has happened because this is about our children. This is about keeping our children and our community safe. And if people are doing this, we need to set the example. We need to arrest people who do these types of things and they need to face the consequences.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
You know, let them be proved innocent. That's fine. But we need to say that if you are tempting to do any of this, if you are tempted to do any of this, you should be put on notice.
Yep.
Was anybody arrested that day? Or should we wait and get into that? What else did you want to say?
Funny story about being arrested. There were... there's another part. This whole day was just beyond ridiculous. Yeah. There was an incident in the street in front of the city park on Northwest Boulevard. Every car got stopped. Police, SWAT which I didn't even realize we had SWAT, but everyone under the sun, all agents, ISP, the state police, FBI, everyone was there surrounding this U-Haul.
Yeah.
Okay, and they stop traffic in both directions and stop this U-Haul in the middle of the street. So they point their guns at the U-Haul and they say, open up. I don't know. Okay, I don't know if he said open up, but the back of the U-Haul opened up and all of these guys just started pouring out of this U-Haul box truck.
Were these refugees from Afghanistan or something?
You know,
I don't know what the story is.
With the way that the Mexican border is really open right now, you would think that there were some sort of refugees coming out of there, but no, it was 31. I think the last count was 31 white boys wearing the exact same outfit, same navy blue shirt, same khaki cargo pants with freaking masks on, gaiters around their heads, sunglasses, baseball hat, the same freaking Danner boots. Somehow they were found out. I don't even know who these guys are, but the police surrounded them and arrested them for being in the back of a U-Haul. They didn't do anything.
Yeah.
So, my gosh, I'm just facepalming that. There's so many conspiracies going on about this U-Haul filled with bozos.
Filled with these Patriot Front. with these Patriot Front folks. You know, I read and I'm going to stop playing dumb because of course I know what happened because this was the perfect distraction to what was happening in the park.
Well, yeah, right? Everyone was paying attention to that and not paying attention to the drag queen, you know, little family friendly event on the stage.
Right, right. And I'm a little, look, these Patriot Front guys, like, I get it. You know, if, you know, there's plenty of groups out there that like to have their, you know, they profess whatever it is they profess. They have their own wardrobe or costume and their own flags, and they go out and they're basically, to me, it's like live action role play, right?
I was noticing your word costume. And so that's what it reminded me of, was LARPing.
Yeah. You know, and so.
The Shakespeare Festival was going on in Sandpoint the same weekend, I think. So maybe they were on their way.
Were they headed there?
Maybe. I don't know. They took a wrong turn.
Right. Well, I read something on Telegram, and I don't know if I want to read the entire thing here, but because there was so much about these guys that said that they are the only, they claim to be the only ones that are standing up for good values, and they're only ones that will confront the degeneracy that's happening at Pride in the Park, and they're the only ones that are willing to, like, put everything on the line and show up and stand on the front line and defend something. And I just kind of feel like, okay, but your tactics are completely bananas.
And not welcome in Coeur d'Alene.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, I don't know who wrote this, but I thought it was a completely relevant point. So here's a tip. This is not me, but this is somebody that wrote this. Here's a tip for the guys in Patriot Front, White Lives Matter, which I didn't know was a thing. Did you ever hear them?
Well, I think they started around the same time that Black Lives Matter, because...
Well, sure, they wanted to, like, be the antithesis of that, right?
But that's all I know.
Yeah, so if any of these guys are also part of that, too, but this guy's kind of lumping them all in there. But anyway, maybe I'll just paraphrase that. They came out and made a spectacle of themselves in Coeur d'Alene. Normal people in Idaho disagree with the LGBT grooming and indoctrination of children. So just be normal if you're going to be in Idaho.
Yeah.
Like, we're the normal people, right? We look at what's going on. I'm not reading anymore. We look at what we're going on and we say, this isn't right. And so we show up at city council meetings. We voice our opinions. We show up to the event. We document it, right? We try and have these conversations, right?
Yeah, because we're rule followers.
You're a rule follower.
Dang it. Yeah, it was so close.
Yeah. And so this guy says, so therefore get rid of your skull masks, your shields, your uniforms, and quit with the white pride flag drops over the highways. Because if normal people agree with you, then there's no need to ostracize yourself by playing dress up and hailing Hitler. Have you seen the video of these guys? There's a video going around of some Patriot guys who they do some video, and then when they're done with the video and they say cut, the camera keeps rolling, and then one of the guys like does a Hail Hitler sign.
Oh, I think I did hear about that. Was I? Yeah.
Yeah. So, I, and again, I don't know if all of this is being generated, you know?
Yeah.
Or if these are just genuine idiots that are just getting together and doing this thing. Again, these are teenagers. These are 20-something-year-olds. We're talking about people that have no idea what they're doing in their lives because they've been growing up in today's society.
But they had a lot of money to fly in here, rent a U-Haul, and then get bailed out.
Interesting, right? Mm-hmm. Who bailed them all out? Like, no one's asking those questions. It was $300 each, right?
$300 each for 31. And there were 31
people.
But hotel rooms.
Who posted bail? Flights. Is that public record? Aaron, you're great with public record stuff. Is there a public record to see who bails out people?
You know what? I don't know. I let other people do that portion of it.
But I'm sure it has to be public record, right?
I don't know.
I feel like we knew who bailed out that pedophile guy.
Well, then it has to be.
Then it has to be, right?
Available.
Yeah, there must be available. So we're going to find that out for you all.
Yes.
So this guy goes on. He says, "You made a complete fool of yourselves in the one place where the vast majority of residents agree with you on the LGBT question."
On the LGBT question, yeah.
If they're there to protest the LGBT Pride in the Park event, mm-hmm. which should be protested, then this guy says, "Read the room, idiots. Just show up and act normal." You know that there's video going around where they were at the park earlier in the day.
Yep.
Right, like scouting it about.
Yeah, so there were some live streams going on all throughout the day, and you can see them walking around. Hours before. U-Haul event.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. this is very suspicious.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you that this was a big setup. Who's behind it? What the motives were? Ultimately, I think the motive was to distract.
I agree.
Yeah.
You know, one thing they did do. Okay, so the Department of Homeland Security says that white nationalism is a domestic terrorist threat, right?
Okay.
Okay, so that came out, what, last year or something like that? What this group did show, they're trying to make it look like this area has a white nationalist threat. I think that's going to play into a bigger role later on, which this area doesn't. These guys were a-holes that had no business being there. We don't agree with anything.
Yeah, nobody was from North Idaho, right?
Nope.
There was one guy from Idaho, but he wasn't from up here,
and I think
right?
one person from Washington, but everyone else is from all over the country.
Yeah.
Anyways,
we don't know any of these people. This is a small community.
Yes.
We know who the activists are, who show up to things, right?
And
we know who they are.
My family has been here for decades. Like, I went to school.
Yeah.
I know everyone.
Here. Right, yeah.
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 So I just am worried that people around the country, with how national this story has gone, I feel like people around the country are going to think that this area is filled with white supremacists again, like they did in the late 90s with the Aryan Nation group.
Right, right.
So that is a big concern for me. However,
it might curb growth.
I was just going to
oh,
say
I'm
that.
Sorry, did I
That's
your
okay.
Thunder?
That's all right. You know what? I'm to the point, there's so many people moving here. Maybe that'll take a little pause on the people moving here. That's so funny that
oh
you said
gosh,
that.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. I like that we're on the same page with that. That part's funny. All right. Everything's funny.
Yeah.
It has
yeah.
to be, or you're going to cry.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. Well, I'm not going to let these bozos, as you called them, distract from the bigger issue here, because this event was a big deal. I believe that there's an event happening in Sandpoint coming up.
Yeah.
Next month, I think is there a pride event in July. Now, why are they having a pride event that's not in Pride Month? What is that about? Now they just get to have it in every month?
Well, you know that June is no longer a month. It's just Pride, right?
It's just Pride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
April, May, Pride, July, August, September.
Oh,
like
oh,
that's
oh,
the
it's called...
that's the joke going around.
Why did they pick June too? Because I feel like June has Father's Day in it, and the poor, you know, why? I mean, I felt like I'm a dad.
Yeah.
My Father's Day, I feel like everybody forgot about it.
Happy Father's Day, by
oh,
the way.
Well,
I haven't
thank
seen
you.
You.
I wasn't begging for that one, but I.
Well, you got
but
it.
I'll take it. I just got a text from my wife that said that my 6-year-old is now in the same crib as my 2-year-old.
Oh my gosh.
So.
Did they jump in there themselves?
I don't know. But it's cute.
It is adorable.
Yeah. I'm trying to gauge whether or not my wife is upset by that or if she's just like sharing like a fun little.
Did she send a picture?
She didn't. Should I text her and Have her send a photo?
Well, yeah, because you don't get to see it.
Oh, dear. Okay, so while I do that, tell us what this next story is.
So, you and I actually met face-to-face at a Coeur d'Alene school board meeting.
Oh, that's right.
You remember that? It was during...
What were we doing? Fighting masks? CRT? What were we doing?
I think we were fighting masks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is funny because my kids don't even go to the schools. They're homeschooled.
Right, and but you care about your community.
I do, because... Yeah. They're not just my children. I'm a huge mama bear, figuratively, not literally, I guess, but huge mama bear that cares about all of the children, not just mine, because it doesn't matter. My kids will be interacting with those kids.
That's a great point. You know?
So we have to fight for all of them, not just our own. Yeah.
So we attend these school board meetings.
We do. And you missed one while you were gone.
I did. Yeah. What happened?
Man. So this was a special meeting where they decided to approve the budget for next year.
Okay.
Which that was just a 2-minute little thing. But the big deal was that they were going back and forth about a new levy. They were trying to decide whether or not they needed it and what ballot to put it on. So this levy is for deferred maintenance, which basically means that all of the schools have been falling apart for so long, and they just look at it and go, yeah, well, we don't have the money for that right now. We'll have to deal with it later.
Right.
It's to the point now where they have over $25 million of deferred maintenance that needs to, you know, be repaired for these schools.
$25
million? Apparently.
Isn't that how much it costs to, like, build a school? Or, like, a couple of schools up here? I mean, a
couple of them. Wow. And they said if they put it off any farther, that price with inflation and everything is going to go up to $68 million.
Right. So they need the money now. Let's pay for it now, they're saying.
And this is on top of the levy that's already in place.
Yeah, I was going to ask. So we already have a levy that was approved. A
supplemental levy.
Right.
Which happens every 2 years.
Yeah, they do that every two years, a supplemental levy. Mm-hmm. And that kind of covers, like, music classes and
everything that the state doesn't pay for.
Yeah, all this sort of extra little things, right.
Yeah.
So this, they want to ask the people to...
Totally separate.
Totally separate. Let's ask the people to fund $25 million so we can fix our schools. And I know one of the things they had mentioned, because every time I go to these meetings, some guy walks in and says, the AC unit at Coeur d'Alene High School needs repair.
You know, and that's the problem, is they're not using the right people. I know for a fact that Liberty HVAC in Rathdrum, who, good patriots, he will come in at almost cost. He'll do it for almost nothing because he's that much of a patriot and just wants to feed his family. So they're obviously using the wrong people because, they need all of this money. So they had a huge discussion back and forth. Some board members didn't like it. Some board members thought that there was too much money. In the end, they ultimately decided that they were going to ask the voters for an $8 million levy over the next 10 years for the maintenance. $8 million over the next 10 years. And so this levy will be asked at an August 30th election, which is, there will only be one question on this ballot. Do you support this levy? Yes or no?
Okay, so that'll be the only thing in the Coeur d'Alene area.
Yep.
Well, there'll be an election, a levy election.
August 30th.
August 30th, okay.
Completely separate. It's a special election. You'll still have the general election in November. This is a completely separate levy ask.
So just from a election standpoint, anytime there's these special elections where there's one issue, you generally don't have the entire community coming out for this election.
Well, no, people are still away on vacation. They've got a few more weeks before school starts.
Yeah, and the people that are most motivated to vote for this are the people that are most affected by it, which is the school people, right?
Yep, it is. So they're historically, the people asking for levies have always hoped that there was a smaller turnout. Because normally it's just people who really want the levy to come and turn out and vote for it. So we'll see how it goes. But people are up in arms more than usual right now because of it. Because their assessed property values just came out. And
And this $8 million is going to be asked. The levy will be on your property tax, right? It'll be added to your...
Yes.
Property taxes.
So it will be added to your property tax based on a rate, which is based on the county's budget. So what's really interesting, so the property values just came out for all of these places, and we knew that they were going to be higher because, good Lord, everyone and their brother are moving here. What happened, though, is a lot of these properties, their values went up 90%, 100%. Like, their values doubled, right? And so when you come in, when you move in from a different state, like the California or something like that, you are thinking that it's just going to be astronomical. Your tax rate is going to be astronomical because that's how it is in California. So I had the opportunity to listen to an interview by our assessor, Bela Kovacs, and he really broke it down for me. We don't have a rate system in Idaho, and that's a state statute. We actually have a levy system. So the rate-based system is basically just property taxes are calculated by the value of your property times a rate, and that's what you pay. But luckily in Idaho, we don't have that. We have a levy-based system, which is basically it's all of the budgets, whatever the county budget is, and they're going through budget season right now, whatever that budget is, then they divide it by all of the property values in Kootenai County. And that's when they get the rate. So it's a little bit different. And then that rate is what's going to be used for our all of the levies moving forward.
Right, right.
So it's a little bit different. It still sucks because everything is going up.
Everything went up, yeah.
And so the rate is going down because there's more value in this area. However, when you get the Coeur d'Alene School District asking for more money, you're still going to be paying more money because the value of your property has gone up.
Right, right.
So,
and aren't people, I know people have been hit big with their like, wow, my tax, the actual dollar amount doubled. You know, they're like, whoa, I'm paying double this year than I did last year or the year before. But also, aren't people's homes being, some people are complaining that their homes are being assessed at a higher value than what they think it is or what they, have you seen that happening? Because I feel like, look, you read the local news and they say some of the most overpriced property values are in Idaho.
Well, I'm of the opinion that that's the case too.
Yeah.
They're probably right.
Like you said, there were homes 2 years ago that were on, that could be on the market for like $300,000 that are going for $600,000 or $700,000.
Yep. Oh yeah.
So obviously, if someone's coming along and assessing and saying that, well, your home could go for X amount of dollars these days, and you're going, well, but that's not what I paid for it, or that's not what I.
The value versus the amount that you paid for it though are still going to be two separate things.
Yeah. Yeah.
This
all goes back to the notion of whether or not property taxes should even exist, right?
Oh, because, and I know you're a huge proponent of no property taxes.
Well, there has to be something that you own, like property, that you don't have to continuously pay for, you know? I mean, I understand, you know, having to have and pay for infrastructure, you know, and I understand having, you know, all of that sort of thing. But when you buy a home or when you move into an area where area is seeing large growth, the growth should be paying for itself, and they shouldn't be continuously taxing the folks that have lived on their property for decades.
Agree.
Or generations even. I mean, how is that possible? Oh, you know?
I don't know. And it took me a long time to understand this, but we rent our house. We don't own this property that we're on right now. However, that doesn't mean that renters won't be affected by it because their rent is going to go up. Any change from the owners, what the owners pay, will just be passed off to the renters.
Right.
So
right.
It does affect them too. And that's actually one of the reasons light bulb went off in my head. I had no idea before this. And that's one of the reasons why I joined the Northwest Property Owners Alliance. I'm not a property owner. I'm a property renter. But anything that happens and affects the property owners will affect the renters as well.
Of course, because if you can pass along the cost, you will. I mean, why wouldn't you?
Exactly. But it's just like the kids too. It may not affect your kids, but it will affect all kids, which will then affect your kids.
100%.
So type of thing.
And all of that stuff is trickles everywhere. Yes. I mean, you know, I mean, when people see that, like, oh my, I know people that drive electric cars and they go, oh, I don't care about the price of gas right now because I drive an electric car. So I don't even know how expensive it is. Okay, dummy. Do you understand that, like, the trucks that deliver the eggs to your store that you buy because you don't have chickens on your own property, do you realize that the reason they're going up is because fuel prices are going up? Like, what? Everything is going to go up. Everything is going up. And they just pass along the cost to you.
And what products are used to make the charging stations?
What?
Plastics.
Oh, yeah. Oils. Oh, my God. Oh, yes, of course. the idea that your car is oh, my car runs on electricity. Your car is charged by a coal-powered plant. Yeah. You are driving a coal-powered car.
My favorite.
You're driving you're not driving a wind-powered car, you know? Like.
My favorite. Have you seen the TikTok video where this guy helps a stranded Tesla owner on the side of the road?
Oh, yes.
And he, the Tesla owner has a charging cable in his back that he will attach to his vehicle and will attach to a generator.
A gas generator, right?
A gas generator. Are you freaking serious?
Like, yeah, he's in the middle of nowhere with like a 720 gas generator.
Yes. Oh, it's the funniest thing ever.
Of course. Well, look, we're not there yet. You know, no. we're not there yet where there's free energy floating about. You know, Nikola Tesla was trying to invent something. They had free energy floating everywhere. Mm-hmm. Instead, we got Elon Musk with his Tesla that you still have to plug into the coal grid in order to power your car. So, I mean, baby steps, I guess.
Yes, but you can't force everyone to buy a $50,000 Tesla, as that's the answer to higher gas prices.
Of course not. Now, I have a, because I'm a cool dad that drives a minivan.
Oh, my gosh.
I have perfect. And it's currently in the shop because we got into an accident, but I have a hybrid minivan, so electric and gas. And the reason I did that was not because I was like, oh, I want to save the world from climate change or anything. Mm-hmm. It's because gas prices are so high.
You know.
I was like, let me charge this thing and I can get 500 or 600 miles on one tank, you know, because I can keep charging it, you know? So it's like, I love that idea, but I'm not an idiot because you need gas to like make your car go.
Well, I'm not a cool dad, so I don't have one of those. If they can get it in SUV form and it's not $100,000,
that's right.
Maybe I'll do a hybrid.
Yeah.
But I mean, got kids, man.
Yeah, yeah. And it makes sense to be able to like have all the, like, I love the technology, you know? You know, but I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it simply because I think like, oh, I don't need to gas and I don't want to like the world is, we can go on another topic where the world is filled with so much natural gas, so much oil, so much, there's so much natural resources in the earth for us to use. God put it there for us to use and innovate from. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah. And he will right the wrongs of Mother Earth, right?
Yeah.
So he'll let us know when we're screwing up.
That's right. And you know what I did? I mean, we're like totally off topic, but you know what I did? Like, you know those the windmills?
Yes.
Which are horrible.
Oh, right? Yeah.
I mean, how much money does it cost to build those things, to erect them, to maintain them? Like, the amount of energy it takes to maintain one of those things does not
amount
to the
amount of energy. That's a whole other conversation.
Yeah.
Because we could talk about that.
Yeah, but one of the worst things that these windmills do is they kill birds, right? They kill millions of birds all over the earth and the world, you know, a year, right? Millions of birds are dying because these windmills are killing them. So when my oldest saw one of these for the first time, we were driving along and there was a big wind farm. He's like, oh, Dad, what are those? And I was like, oh, those are bird killers. So talk about indoctrinating your children. Seriously. My son is being raised to learn that those are bird killers. And they try and generate energy, but they're generally bird killers.
There's a wind farm between Coeur d'Alene and Seattle. On I-90 in Washington, the middle of Washington, right? And it's so creepy because they're silent. When you're driving, all you hear is the wind passing your windows, right? So you have these giant windmills and they're silent and it looks, and we're in a desert. So it looks like we're in some post-apocalyptic universe, and it's creepy.
And these things are huge. Yeah. Have you ever seen them, like, being driven down the road?
Yes.
Like, they'll drive the propellers down the
one
road.
One propeller at a time.
Yeah, they're huge. And massive. They're being driven by a big, giant diesel truck.
Yeah,
of course. I mean, that's the insanity that we live in. Is we live in an idiocracy.
Yeah. One of our favorite movies. We shoved that movie down our children's throats during the lockdown.
Oh my God, you're such an extremist. You're such an extremist.
All right. My gosh, you've been gone a while. We have a lot to talk about.
All right. Let's go to the next story here.
Man, so I'm so glad you're back, because I was dinking around on the Idaho State Legislature website this last week. And yes, I do that for fun, because there's always something new going on. And I saw that there's some career opportunities.
Ooh.
Yes. And I went, what the heck is going on? So there are 3 job openings in the state capitol building where any normies can apply.
So you don't have to go and be elected to go work at the Capitol? Okay, so what, do you have them?
I do. I have the 3 of them. The first one is stuck out to me, too, because it's the chief clerk for the House of Representatives. And I went, what? Is this what chief I think clerk. It is?
Yeah.
Do you know what position that is?
I don't think so.
Okay, so have you ever gone to the legislature when they're in session?
Sure.
Have you ever watched a House session?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, so you know the person who is standing up in front of the Speaker of the House, so in front of Bedke, and she was the one who was reading.
Oh, sure, she'd read the bills when they need to be read, or she'd tally the votes and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
That position is up. Wow.
Yes.
So you could be like a TV star if you get this one.
Heck yes.
You'd be on TV all the time.
You would be speaking so much, because so right now they waive the right to read the entire bill in its entirety. Normally they just do the titles.
Oh, right.
However, if a legislator is feeling spicy, they can object and say, no, I want the entire bill read in its entirety.
Yes, I've seen that. That's when I like kind of hit my mute button.
Yeah.
and wait 12 minutes as they read this whole bill.
The one bill. Yeah. I feel sorry for her when that happens. Yeah. However, it happens a lot this last session, because everyone was so mad because the gas tax bill would not come out of Amador's drawer, and some of the other property tax bills and election integrity. So those legislators, those representatives who were like, okay, fine, if you won't let us talk about these bills, we'll make you guys have to sit and listen to the next bill we are talking about just be read in its entirety.
Right, yeah.
Anyway, so I'm assuming, and this is totally my assumption, that the lady who was the clerk is moving with Bedke. So Bedke won the primary for lieutenant governor.
Oh, I see.
I think that she will be moving with him if he wins the general. I feel like she'll be moving with him into the lieutenant governor's office.
I see.
Which
I see.
They don't have a big budget.
So anyways. So has she been there pretty much as long as Bedke has when he's been Speaker of the House?
You know what?
He was Speaker for like 12 years, I think, or even longer?
I have no idea, actually.
At least 12, yeah.
My ignorance is showing. I've only been paying attention the last couple of years.
Right.
Pretty much since the lockdowns. So I have no idea. But yeah, that position is now open if you
want to. Well, that's great. Yeah, that's great to hear, because I think, I wanted to make sure that we stress the point to everybody listening out there that you must get involved. And not everybody has the qualifications to run for office. Not everybody has the qualifications and genius of Miss Erin Bernard, who can start her own news blog and do a
That's
podcast
called
stubborn and attend community events and tallies and keep track of everything that's going on. Not everybody has these talents. However, somebody out there has a talent to go be this. What's this position again?
Chief clerk for the Idaho House of Representatives.
You could be chief clerk. Go get a job being chief clerk. I mean, this thing's got to pay at least, what, 60 grand, 75 grand a year?
Oh, man.
It's got to be something decent,
It's got to be something
right?
good. Well, I mean, you'll be living in Boise. This is a full-time job
full-time
and a full-year job.
Yeah, full year.
So.
Yeah, not just while you're in session.
that'll be so
and we
fun.
Want we need good folks we need good folks in there. Now obviously this is a very objective job, it's not partisan, you know, but it would be great to have some good like-minded folks working in government.
So I was wrong. It's only
okay, you're wrong.
At least I admit it. Admit. For the most part, my husband will be so proud of me.
We need an error button. Okay.
So the job is only during the legislative session.
Okay, the job is only during the legislative session. So you're looking at least 3 months. So that's even better, because then you can enjoy the rest of your life.
Exactly. And really, applications are still being asked for. You can send them in until June 30th.
Okay, and what are the other two? You said there were two other positions?
Oh, yes. So the other one is the staff auditor.
A staff position. Auditor, okay.
So you would work in the Legislative Services Office, which is
basically... They help write the bills, right?
Yes. Yeah, so a legislator will go to them and say, hey, I kind of want a bill that does this. And they'll go, oh, yeah. We'll help you write it, because they know all the laws for Idaho.
Right. So they'll pull all the statutes, they'll coordinate things, they'll come up with the right language with you, and you'll work through it. Or if you have a bill, you'll go to them. So this is a staffer?
Yes.
Someone that would help assist with that, with those operations?
No, with the audits. So this will be the audit.
Oh,
it's
gotcha.
A staff
it's an auditor.
So
okay.
it's an
okay.
audit division.
Okay.
So you'll be doing financial and compliance audits by analyzing information.
Excellent. So if you're a data analyst, if you're looking for, and again, I would assume this actually could be a year-round gig, perhaps, no?
I haven't seen it yet.
All right. Well, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Look it up, because we need people in there, whether it's full-time, part-time, or whatever. Like, get involved. Get up, get a part of this. What's the third job?
Oh, man, you're going to like this. I think this has your name written all over it.
Oh, should I apply? All right. Let me get my resume ready.
Senate Minority Chief of Staff.
Senate Minority Chief of Staff. Yeah. Oh, this is working for the Democrats.
Yeah.
So the
Senate.
Democrats need a Chief of Staff.
They need a Chief of Staff.
Okay. So I guess the qualification would have to be a Democrat.
Yes. But it looks like... Oh, no. It's priority given to applications received by June 17th. However, the position will be open until it's filled.
Filled, okay.
So it's still open. It has to be still open because it's still on the website.
Right, yeah. So they wanted applications by June 17th. So I don't know. So where do they go? To go to the legislative site?
Yeah, so it's legislature.idaho.gov.
And look up job openings, right?
It's on the right-hand side. It says career opportunity.
Boom.
Yep.
Please go check it out, see if it's right for you, and submit a resume. I mean, look, our government is filled with career government people.
Oh my gosh.
And
yes.
It would be great if more citizens got involved, and this isn't to disparage some of the people that work there, right?
No.
But we know that governments all over in every capital city are filled with partisan people. Who just don't do? They arrive with partisanship, and I'm not asking you to go be a partisan.
Except that the staff minority, the chief of staff,
and that makes sense. Right? That makes sense. Although I would say the minority, I believe there's more Democrats than possibly Liberty folks in the minority.
Agree, especially down in Boise.
Yeah,
we need
all
the help we can get down there.
Yeah, so go be a good citizen. Go check out these jobs. Get involved. The same thing with your school boards and your local community, your city councils. Like, again, I'm not asking you for running these positions, but look on the website, look for these jobs, look for the volunteer positions, like the arts councils and all these positions. Like, you have to get involved.
And you really matter.
Yes.
Judy Boyle found out how much the people matter.
Oh my goodness. You're right. So Judy Boyle, District 9, House Seat B.
Yep.
She was redistricted.
So there were about 5 different representatives and senators who went into this new District 9.
Right.
So she had a lot of people to beat. And the main competition was Scott Simey, who they both worked together in the House for at least 2 years. Judy Boyle was more of a Liberty legislator than Scott Simey was.
Yes.
And she beat him in the primary.
By 6 votes.
6 votes.
And I heard they just conducted a recount.
Is in state statute. You have to be within a certain percentage, and then a recount will automatically happen.
Okay.
They were in that certain percentage point. And so they just finished the recount a few days ago while you were gone. And still, She beat him by 6 votes.
By 6 votes. And the count was exactly the same?
Exactly the same as the first time.
Good for Idaho. Yeah. That's good. Good for that county.
Yeah.
Or the district. I don't know if it was split over a couple of counties, but good for them. We talked about the election. Well, we weren't really on the air doing podcasts after the election.
I just tell everyone I cried over Ron Nate losing.
Yeah.
I did. Everyone else made me angry. Like, I'm going to, you know, stuck out my chin and probably yell a little bit, but Ron Nate losing made me cry.
Yeah. He was a good guy.
Yeah.
And he still is a good guy. I don't want to say like
he's actually, so it was just announced while you were gone that he will now be writing for the Idaho Freedom Foundation.
Ah, yes. 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 Yeah, he policy, like looking over policy and stuff like that and being a part of that team.
Yep, fantastic. I'm so thankful.
Yeah, well, I'm glad he just didn't go off and retire. He's going to be even more powerful, I think, on the outside and stuff.
And now his wife can participate more. I love her, too. Maria. She's great. She's spicy online.
We got to try and have them on the show.
Yeah.
That would be pretty cool.
That would be so fun.
Excellent. All right. One other thing about getting involved, right? Because up here in North Idaho, there's an election coming in November.
Yes.
Specific to our local area in the NIC, right?
Oh, man. Speaking of spicy.
Yeah.
So we had 3 open positions on the NIC Board of Trustees. What happened was there was 1 open position and then our two difficult trustees resigned. Mm-hmm. So 3 open positions that were filled essentially by the State Board of Education with help by the governor's office. Right. Come to find out in some emails. Anyways, those 3 positions are up in the November general election. We get to vote in 3 new people for those positions. And we need help so much. They just they just announced that they will be hiring a new president. I don't feel good about this guy. I listened to his interviews and I felt that scrubbing the toilets, which is what I was doing at the time, was more entertaining than listening to this guy talk. But it is what it is. So they're in contract negotiations with him right now. But it just goes to show we need good people on the board because they are the ones that really determine the overall governance of the school.
Of course.
Yeah. And it's a community college. My daughter is 16. She will be going to college in a few years. And right now, there are not too many colleges that she feels comfortable with attending. NIC is one of those colleges she does not feel comfortable attending with all of the woke material, SEL stuff, all that stuff from the Coeur d'Alene school board level on up. It's all the same.
Right.
But so we have 3 positions that are coming available at the end of this year that will be on the November ballot. And they are for zones 1, 2, and 5.
So if you live in NIC zones 1, 2, and 5, you can be eligible to run for the NIC Board of Trustees.
Yes. So I had to look it up. And zone 1 is basically everything south of town, but west of the lake. So if you're going down 95 south, everything from across the river on south is all zone 1.
That's all zone 1.
Yes. Okay. And anyone who's ever driven south on 95, they know once you cross the river, you go all the way down to the Kootenai County lines. Right. Everything there is zone 1.
So everything over there is zone 1.
Now, everything, the entire eastern part of the county is zone 2.
So everything on the other side of 95.
Yep. And the other side of the lake. And so the eastern side of the lake, the eastern side of Coeur d'Alene.
So like Harrison.
Yep.
So Harrison up through like Wolf Lodge Bay.
Yeah. All the way up to.
Into Hayden.
Yeah. The tip of Ponderay, like the entire northeastern side.
Oh, all the way up to like Bayview.
All the way.
Okay. Is all Bayview in Kootenai or is it on the other line? It might be on the other side. I don't know the board. Too well. Anyway, but it's that side.
Yeah, it's that side.
Okay, so and folks then, who live over there.
And then zone 5 is basically all Prairie and Rathdrum area. And Hauser.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a lot of folks there. Oh, okay, good. So if any of those areas are yours and you feel like you can do a good job to help the NIC Board of Trustees.
Man.
Get up there, help Banducci, help Greg.
And
try and keep this school on track, because I tell you, man, you look all over Idaho and every town that there's a university or a major school in,
it's pretty liberal.
It's pretty woke, man. Mm-hmm. They're just so woke. It all starts with the schools.
It really does.
And higher that's why education. They go bananas anytime something happens in our area. They go bananas when Banducci got
chairman. Any type of conservative win, they go bananas in Coeur d'Alene.
They know that their school is the crown jewel of their woke leftism. It's where they breed the virus.
It really that reminds me.
The community. You know,
have you seen the Matt Walsh video, What is a Woman?
Oh, the documentary?
The documentary. Yes. It's just what you're describing at NIC just reminded me of all of the professors that Matt Walsh interviewed, just asking, what is a woman? And they couldn't answer that question.
Oh, yeah.
And they were threatened by those lines of questions.
Yeah. And if you wanted to have those same types of reactions, you just walk through NIC.
Oh, same exact thing. Yeah. And so that's why my daughter doesn't want to go to that school.
Yeah.
And I know enrollment is down. I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that these kids are waking up, thanks to their parents, thanks to the lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
They're waking up and they're realizing that college may not be the way to go for them. However, the workforce training centers and all of those programs, huge waiting list of people.
Great.
Yes.
Great.
I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, because they're focusing on these, like the trades, right? And all of the things that we need in order to help maintain our society.
Which is what this county was founded on.
100%. Yeah.
You know?
And it's what we're going to have to save the rest of the country when everything collapses.
Yes.
Because the collapse is coming and we are going to need people who know how to help each other locally.
You know what I was doing while you were away?
Saving the world, I hope.
Well, besides that, I was canning. I was canning
vegetables. We need more cannings.
Yeah. Yes. First time ever. I'm 40 years old.
And you canned for the first time?
Very first time.
And
by myself.
And what was the favorite thing for you to can? What was the one?
I only have a water bath canner right now, so I could only can like more acidic vegetables. And so I was just canning like tomatoes.
Okay, so you canned tomatoes. Yeah.
And then
can you keep them? Do you have to date them?
Yeah, date them.
Did you get a stamper so you can stamp like you do at the store?
No way, man. I have a label maker.
All right.
Got to use that label maker. Yeah. So I did that, and then I also have Mylar bags and the little oxygen tag thing. Uh-huh. So I was doing a lot of dry goods.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, very good.
Stealing them.
That's great. And so you're canning tomatoes. What else can you can? What else are you looking forward to canning?
Oh, so my birthday is coming up, and so I'm really hoping Lucky will buy me a pressure canner.
Oh,
and then so I can get everything. My garden is crap right now because we had so much rain.
I feel like we just had the first day of summer on the first day of summer.
Oh yeah, it's supposed to be super nice this weekend.
Yeah, fantastic.
I'm looking forward to that. But I'm looking forward to canning everything. And I think everyone else needs to be canning stuff right now too.
I agree. And I think it would be great if your next TikTok that you could show us some of your canned tomatoes.
Well,
don't open them, but just show us the cans.
I have four.
Four cans.
20 pounds of tomatoes.
In four cans?
Yeah, four cans.
How big are the cans?
They're quarts.
Okay.
Actually, right, and a half quarts, but we didn't can that last one. I just used it for spaghetti sauce. But what I did do, fantastic, through TikTok, thank you, TikTok, is I saved the tomato peels and I dehydrated them for 24 hours.
Okay.
And then I threw them in the blender and powdered them.
Tomato?
Powdered tomato
what
peel.
What does that come for?
It's good to use as a tomato sauce thickener, or you could add some water to it and becomes tomato paste.
Interesting.
So it's just a powder in a jar. You sprinkle it on to thicken your stuff or to make a tomato paste with it.
Well, please show us that on TikTok.
Yeah.
And what's your TikTok? Let's make sure everybody
follows you. Casey Spectator, hello.
Great.
Thank you, TikTok. I've learned so much on there.
Yeah. Well, the internet is full of good advice.
And the term for giving me the deets is no longer deets. It's the T-E-A.
So the deets is like the details.
Yes.
Now it's give me the T?
Give me the T. So when you're talking about the Judy Boyle stuff,
yeah,
it's the Judy Boyle T.
the Judy Boyle tea. Yes. Did I say deets?
Nope. But oh, you just had information on Judy Boyle.
Right. And that, so that's the
tea. It's the tea.
Wow.
So.
We're shortening and shortening it.
Do you feel really old now?
I'm still trying to figure out what the tea is.
Yeah.
I know it's the deets.
Yeah.
And the deets is the details.
And suspect.
Oh, I'm starting with that. That's kind of sus.
Yep.
Yeah. 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 I was really happy when I learned fire early on.
Oh.
Like, that's fire.
That's so fire.
Yeah. I know people probably don't use that anymore.
I use the emoji in texting.
Yeah. The emoji's great. The fire emoji's great. Yeah. I don't know if people say it too much anymore. It kind of lasted for like about a year. But when I saw somebody say that, that's fire. I was like, wow, that is fire. It's fire that you can say fire.
Oh my gosh, I feel so old all of a sudden.
We better end this podcast.
Yes, please.
All right, where can people follow you?
They can follow me on Facebook, on Telegram, on TikTok. I did start a Truth Social account.
Oh, you didn't even tell me that.
I know. You went out of town, man.
Yeah, but that's the whole idea with the I don't have to. You don't have to be in the same town to be able to follow somebody on the internet.
Okay.
That's the whole point of the internet.
So everything but Truth Social is all Casey Spectator.
Okay.
Okay.
So, oh, who are you on Truth Social then?
Well, you're real Matt Edwards, right?
That's right.
I'm real Casey Spectator.
Oh, wow.
And that wasn't because of you. That's just because someone else had Casey Spectator. I think I may have reserved it through a friend.
Okay.
When only Apple products could get in.
Oh.
And now the friend doesn't remember doing... We did it late at night, and she did a lot of
She's
them.
She's like, I have no idea what what the password is or anything or how to...
She's like, I don't know if I did that, blah, blah, blah.
Okay, so if we do find that account, it still might be you.
It could be, but there's no followers
or anything. Real Casey Spectator.
Yep.
Great. So Real Casey Spectator will be followed by Real Matt Edwards very shortly. So if you follow me, you'll follow her. Follow us all.
Where are you?
I'm on Truth Social, Real Matt Edwards. And Getter, Real Matt Edwards. You can find me there. And I'm on Facebook, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I know. I don't use that.
Yeah, great. All right, Aaron, this has been another fantastic episode, and I look forward to getting together once again.
I am so glad you're back.